We haven't heard a lot about measles in the last few weeks, but it has not dropped off the radar of public health officials. We recently sat down with Dr. Sarah Park. She's a state epidemiologist, a pediatrician, and she shares that being a new mom has given her additional insight into fears about whether or not to vaccinate. Across the country, there have been more than 1,000 measles cases, an eye-opener, when it was back in the year 2000 that the U.S. was declared measles-free. Two steps forward and how many steps back? Well, Dr. Park reflects on what's happening with this measles outbreak, not just in the U.S., but across the Pacific as well.
It's calming down a little bit on the mainland, but it is still pretty active in some of these other jurisdictions. And people are saying, have you joined the measles party yet? And Hawaii definitely does not want to join the measles party. Unfortunately, we know that Alaska, our northern neighbor, has joined the measles party. About a month ago, they had some cases up there. And so we've been watching that very closely. California certainly has had cases. And then internationally, of course, unfortunately, we're still seeing a lot of measles in the Philippines and New Zealand is having a big outbreak, an ongoing outbreak centered around Auckland and some of the other Pacific areas. So we're really in Japan also having an outbreak or has had one. And so we're very cognizant of what's going on around us and trying to with your help, folks like you, getting the word out about making sure that our community is protected and, you know, we all do get vaccinated and protecting, you know, the young infants who can't, you know, get vaccinated because of their age, immunocompromised who, you know, because of their medical treatments or their just naturally some issue with their immune system are unprotected, you know, and therefore vulnerable. Our elderly who, for whatever reason, maybe, you know, from not necessarily from measles, but from other things maybe. And so it's really just trying to make sure our community is strong. And protecting everyone around us, including our own selves.
Now, at the beginning of the year, I was in Seattle, and it was when they were experiencing that outbreak, and they were declaring, like, emergencies in different counties.
Right.
Here it is, August, school started. We've seen some very enlightening numbers about what schools might be at risk because they have a larger population of students that have not been vaccinated, mm-hmm. whose parents have opted out for religious reasons. Or there was some discussion about how do we deal with that going forward. So what's the plan for the school year since we have started already?
Yeah, well, so it's the same as always in that we're trying to get the message out to parents, to providers, to encourage vaccinations, ensure that our community understands why it's so important to protect our kids as well as our community. You know, trying to help get more information out there for those who might be on the fence. And really, I would encourage those who are on the fence to take a look at information that's available on our website. And if not on our website, just to also talk to your healthcare provider to whether it's a physician, nurse practitioner, and ask them about, you know, the vaccines and have that conversation. It's really important to have that conversation. And you're also welcome to call our immunization program and ask for information. And we have any number of staff who would be willing and helpful and in helping to understand some of the diseases that we're protecting against and the vaccines as well.
So what does the department have planned just for education in the next couple of months?
Well, we're starting to gear up in that we're working on some posters, you know, some of those like what they call infographic posters so that it's easy to sort of read those posters and understand the information so that regardless of language and such, especially cognizant of in here in Hawaii, we have so many different cultures. And so trying to work on some of these infographic type posters around the vaccine preventable diseases, making them available to healthcare providers so they can post them and to other areas, potentially schools as well, so that, you know, we can help to educate our community to get that information out there. Because we are hearing from our community, some parts of our community, that part of why they are on the fence is because they don't feel like they have access to the information. And so we're trying to make sure that information is available.
And that's probably the biggest challenge if folks don't trust what's out there.
You know, trust is an earned thing. And again, I think, you know, it starts with some people you in the community, every one of us in our community, we have people we trust, and hopefully you trust your healthcare provider, and that is a good source to start with. You know, physicians go through a lot of training, as do nurse practitioners. I mean, and they're a good source to start with. And then you also want to go to reputable sources, sources that are science-based. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the World Health Organization. Our website is about trying to get that information out there and trying to help make other information from reputable sources accessible. So from CDC, we know that sometimes some of these other sort of organizations, their websites might be a little bit hard to navigate. So we're trying to help provide those direct links to areas. And again, it's also based on feedback from what we hear. So encouraging our community to reach out to us to let us know what else could we be doing to help you.
You know, you're a new mom and you know, my kids are grown now, but I remember there was a time when my daughter, I think, got strep throat, and I didn't know it was strep throat. I didn't think it was, you know, I just thought it was a bad sore throat. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then she had strep throat. Mm-hmm. And I just did a story recently about somebody who had to get a kidney transplant. And she said she developed a condition because she had strep throat and there was an autoimmune mm-hmm. thing going on. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, in her 20s. And so it really just kind of made me kind of gulp, thinking, gosh, you know, you try and do the right thing with your child. And mm-hmm. but sometimes you don't know. And
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, especially as a different perspective now as a parent, but as a pediatrician, I mean, for years working with parents and such, and, you know, I totally understand and totally emphasize that, you know, I mean, here I am with my own son. You know, I watch everything that goes in his mouth, you know what I mean? So I totally understand that. And that's why, as from that perspective, and as a pediatrician, I'm here to tell you, vaccines are really important. We have years and years of data, years and years of experience now to show all the benefits that we've, as a community, not just this community here in Hawaii, but in the United States and globally, have reaped from vaccinations. It's because of those successes that we aren't seeing these diseases on the large scale anymore. Unfortunately, what's happening is that people are questioning the benefits of those vaccines, and we're starting to see sort of these bigger and bigger pockets that are opening up of vulnerable areas in our community, people who are no longer immune to these diseases. And that's the concern for me as a parent, as a physician, and as a public health official, in that, you know, our community is becoming more and more vulnerable because of this. And so it is about, how do we shore up our defenses now at this point, and how do we protect our community and help people understand why it is so important that we maintain the level of immunization that we've had in the past uniformly throughout the state. And so it's not easy. I can empathize as to why parents are, you know, might be a little leery. They're not sure. They hear different things and such. But I would say, look to the science. The science is there. The data is there in well-performed and conducted studies. I don't know what more I can say at this point, you know, except as mom, I really feel strongly as well about the need for vaccination.
So vaccinations for measles, there's also the big flu push, right, mm-hmm. to get vaccinated for that as well.
Right. I mean, and I think also people have commented, oh, flu vaccine isn't great. You know, it doesn't, what it's going to do. I understand that too. And it's important to remember that not all vaccines are equal, and that not all vaccines are as effective as the next vaccine. You know, we know, for example, hepatitis A vaccine is incredibly effective in that, you know, you get vaccinated, you're probably good. You're immune for life. Measles vaccine, or measles, mumps, rubella, MMR, also fairly good in terms of measles protection. And then you have flu vaccine, which unfortunately is a hit or miss. And part of that is the challenge in terms of trying to, you know, we don't really have a universal flu vaccine, in that the flu vaccine has to be reformulated every year and against specific strains. One day, that's the dream of a lot of the scientists and researchers at like NIH, National Institutes of Health, and other places, where one day we will have a universal vaccine where you just have to get it once and we're good. We're good against all flus. But, you know, it reflects the complexity of the pathogens that we're trying to protect against. Consider this too. You know, I hear a lot of people comment about, oh my God. And I know, as a parent taking my son to the, you know, doctor's appointments for the vaccinations, seems like a lot of shots, right? But when you think about it from the perspective of the fact that there are thousands of pathogens out there, and probably more that we haven't discovered yet, frankly, or identified yet, you know, and we really have, when you compare the number of vaccines against that, is really barely even a drop of, in the bucket, so to speak, that we're protecting our kids against. And what we've basically done is identify the ones that have caused the most horrendous, most numerous, most, you know, the biggest burden of disease, essentially, and the biggest cost to society and our culture, our communities, and are trying to protect against those. Unfortunately, we don't have vaccines against some other things like strep throat. And there are scientists who are working to try to develop vaccines against some of these other pathogens. But for now, we have these handful, and vaccine is still the method of prevention. I will say is one last thing, though, and that is that don't forget to wash your hands because that's still important. Just because you have the vaccine does not preclude you from remembering to wash your hands, or when you do get sick from whatever else is out there, to not share your germs. Remember to not share your germs with the rest of the community.
That was state epidemiologist Sarah Park, a pediatrician and a new mom, talking about the measles and flu vaccinations as students are back in school this month.